Has anyone here ever been to Israel? Oh, yeah, a good number of people have been to Israel. So the number one destination that people want to visit when they go to Israel is where Jesus rose from the dead. They want to go where Jesus was first buried and then rose from the dead. And so just outside of Jerusalem is the Garden Tomb. Who's been to the Garden Tomb? Okay, so it's a lovely spot with green trees and bubbling water, and the archaeologists, they discovered the tomb in the 1880s, and there are benches carved into the rock where Jesus may have been laid, and some ancient Christians even carved a cross into the stone there. But the most convincing landscape, argument is the landscape, because the Bible tells us that Jesus was buried at Golgotha, the place of the skull. And at the Garden Tomb, it's starting to disintegrate with pollution and things, but the rock really looks like a skull at the Garden Tomb. And so people thought, aha, surely this is the place. This is where Jesus conquered the grave. Many Protestants really like this answer. Mormons, they like the answer too. But most Christians are not Protestants or Mormons. The Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church and the Armenian Church, they're all convinced that Jesus rose from the dead at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Anyone ever been to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? Okay, they're most likely right. The weathered church is thick with the smells and the bells of old religion, right? And the church has been the official site of the resurrection since the 4th century. Emperor Constantine sent his mother, because always you gotta send your mom to take care of these things, sent his mom to Jerusalem to find out where Jesus conquered the grave. And sure enough, his mom found a spot where they had built a temple to Venus to obscure the site of the resurrection. And so the pagan temple was leveled and the tomb of Jesus was uncovered about 325 AD. And for 1700 years, pilgrims have been lining up outside this church to visit the spot where Jesus rose from the dead. So which is it, the Garden Tomb or the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? I lean towards the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but I don't know. I don't know if either one of them got it exactly right. I wish I could tell you with the confidence that I have in Holy Scripture's witness of the good news. But I got to tell you that it's actually a good thing that nobody knows for sure where Jesus rose from the dead. It's actually one of the most compelling arguments for the claims of Easter being true. When teachers in the ancient world died, everyone made a big deal about where they were buried, and people knew it. They knew where that person was buried. But the early Christians didn't bother venerating the tomb of Jesus. If Jesus had stayed dead, they would have lingered around the tomb like a grieving widow or a grieving widower stays around their spouse's grave, right? One of the most compelling arguments for the resurrection being true is that all evidence tells us that the first Christians completely abandoned the empty tomb of Jesus. Because Jesus abandoned it first. Why do you seek for the living among the dead? This is a living relationship with Jesus Christ that we preach about here. That's what we hear in the Gospel of Luke when the angel asks the woman, why do you look for the living among the dead? Because it doesn't matter which graveyard you visit in Jerusalem. You are not going to find the bones of Jesus because he is risen. Ah, you're paying attention. That's good. The empty tomb is important evidence that Jesus really did raise from the dead. But it's not simply enough to convince a skeptical heart. I know that. The only way that anyone can experience the resurrection and the life is to have a personal encounter with the risen Jesus. Now, most people don't get to see Jesus walk. They don't have a vision of Jesus walking their way, the way that Paul did. And very few people tell me that they hear Jesus speak to them in an audible voice. But I've met many. I've experienced that myself. But anyone who believes in Jesus, they know what it's like to have their hearts strangely warmed by this good news that changes who they are today and it changes their eternal destiny tomorrow. Let's turn our attention to the greatest story in all the world. And it's the greatest story because it's true. It's the story of new life for all who believe. This year from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning. And his clothing, white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly. Tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jewish leaders this day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So no one disputed that the tomb was empty. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's in all four of their gospels. They all include the empty tomb as a key piece of evidence that Jesus really is risen from the dead. Even the religious authorities of that day conceded that the tomb was empty. Instead of denying the obvious, the elders and the priests, they concocted a story about the disciples stealing the body. Now, grave robbing was very common in the ancient world. You came, you stole the good stuff. But you left the body, okay? And so when they came up with the story about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus, it made the disciples look really icky and unethical, that they were dirty. And by dirty, I mean they were dishonest. But I also mean that they were ritually unclean, okay? stay away from these guys. They're dirty. They're unclean. Matthew is the only gospel writer who includes this detail in the story, that the religious authorities paid the guards, who would have been killed, by the way, if they admitted to sleeping on duty. Just a little historical detail. They would have been killed. But he's the only one of the gospel writers to address this rumor, this nasty rumor, that the disciples were grave robbers. At the time when the gospel was written, the accusation was really quite embarrassing. But 2,000 years later, we should be grateful that Matthew had the courage to confront this mean-spirited gossip, because it's a helpful reminder that even the opponents of the early church, even the people who didn't want to believe in Jesus, had to admit the tomb really was empty. On this, everyone could agree, even the people who refused to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, of course, the empty tomb, it's what lawyers today would call circumstantial evidence, right? You can't prove the resurrection just with an empty tomb. Yes, this is evidence that demands a verdict, as one book puts it, but it is not enough proof to solve the case for Christ, as another book puts it. Even the women at the graveyard needed more than an angel who is bright as lightning telling them that Jesus rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they needed their own personal encounter with the risen Jesus in order to believe, right? They believed enough to run away from the tomb. They believed enough to go looking for the other disciples. But in order to believe, they needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so do you. And so do I. Now, no one finds Jesus in the empty tomb. Not the women in today's story, not Peter, not John later on in the story. All of them ran away as fast as they could from the boneyard. They wanted nothing to do with the stench of death any longer. They wanted to be back among the living. And that's where Jesus found them, among the living, not among the dead. Don't go looking for Jesus among the dead. By all means, if you go to Israel, go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Go to the Garden Tomb. That's fine. But that's not where you find Jesus. You find Jesus where people are saying he is risen. You find it where people are singing, Christ the Lord is risen today. You find it where people are changed by this good news of Jesus Christ. That's where Jesus will discover you. That's where Jesus will find you and make you come alive. Now, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were filled with both fear and joy after their encounter with the angel. And they wanted to believe, but they needed something more personal. And Jesus catches them on their way back to the land of the living. And he tells them, do not be afraid, but go to my brothers and tell them to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And Jesus, he shoos them out of the graveyard. He doesn't want them in the graveyard. Get out of here. This is not where we belong. We Christians don't belong in the graveyard. We belong among the living. He asks them to leave death behind so that they can share this message of life with the other disciples. Now, some of you skeptics in the congregation, and I hope that we have some skeptics in the congregation. I am a recovering skeptic myself. I'm full of faith today, but only because I've asked hard questions. Only because I've pushed and I've pulled and I've tugged at this gospel message long and hard all my life. It's only made me believe the more. But one thing I hear from skeptics is, well, people, they have delusions after the death of a loved one. And that's true. After a funeral, I occasionally see someone who looks just like the person I buried. I've seen this where I've been driving away from a funeral and I see someone cross the street and it looks just like the person I buried. And I go, whoa. And there's this cognitive dissonance that I experience, even as the preacher. And I know that my friend, as a fact, is 6 feet under the ground, but my mind plays tricks on me because I want this person to be alive. I believe that that's the denial stage in the grieving process. It's a compelling illusion, but it lasts half a second, and it's gone. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary did not have any such delusion on Easter Sunday. This is not a figment of their imagination. When they saw Jesus, Mary and Mary rushed over to him and they grabbed him by his feet. What just happened to Jesus' feet? They had nails pierced into them. They knew very well that this is their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. By the wounds of his feet, as they clung to them, and they no longer smelled the curse of death on this resurrected body, he felt different. He smelled different. Not just with the perfume anymore, but the smell of life. The smell of life. They could smell for themselves. They could touch for themselves. They could feel for themselves that these are living feet. Later on, Jesus would invite his skeptical friend Thomas. And we all have a skeptical friend. They may not always be named Thomas, right? But we all have a skeptic friend, don't we? Who said, well, unless I stick my fingers in the hands and the feet, unless I put my hand inside the side, I'm not going to believe. Until he was invited to do just that. And he didn't want to do that anymore. Unlike Thomas, Mary and Mary didn't require that kind of forensic evidence. It was quite enough to be near to the feet of Jesus again. So St. Paul, he tells us that lots and lots of people had experiences with the risen Jesus. So Mary and Mary saw him. Peter saw him. John saw him. The rest of the disciples saw him. Then Thomas would see him again later. James, the younger brother of Jesus, who wasn't even a believer in Jesus until he saw the risen Jesus, okay? Did not believe and was converted by the risen Jesus. More than 500 people, according to Paul, saw Jesus after he conquered the grave. 500 people over 40 days. Last of all, Paul saw the risen Jesus. Now, you can't dismiss these sightings as a group delusion, right? Mirages, they fade in an instant. Denial after death, it goes away pretty quickly. But the risen Jesus kept visiting people again and again and again for 40 days. And again for Paul, even after that. And the disciples were able to talk with Jesus, to touch Jesus, to examine his wounds. They even ate fish with Jesus. This risen Jesus is nobody's imaginary friend. Okay? This personal relationship that we develop with Jesus, it's not a figment of our imagination or wish fulfillment. This is the risen Lord. So James, he didn't believe in his brother Jesus being the Messiah. And Paul, he was violently opposed to Jesus and the Christians. And so Jesus returning from the grave was not, you know, what either of these guys was looking for. After the resurrection, hundreds of witnesses died for their faith in Jesus in the years to come, which is not thousands eventually, which is not something you do for a myth or a mirage or a marketing campaign. Another strong argument that Jesus actually rose from the grave is that the first believers preferred violent, terrible deaths to giving up their faith in the risen Jesus. And I say to you that this is happening today. 5,621 Christians were martyred in Nigeria between October of 2021 until November of 2022. So in 13 months, 5,621 Christians were martyred in Nigeria. 2,000 years later, people are still risking their necks for Jesus. Not because of the empty tomb, but because of the risen Christ that they have personally known. The risen Christ that saved them from their sin. The risen Christ who promises them new life forever and ever. None of them died for that empty tomb. They sacrificed their life for a relationship with the risen Jesus. Peter, Paul, James, the other disciples, the other apostles, hundreds of thousands of martyrs over the last 2,000 years would not back down because they knew the resurrection really happened. Because they experienced the love, the forgiveness of Jesus in a personal relationship with him. That's the best argument that I've got for you. I can point you to evidence that deserves a verdict and all that. Empty tombs and the fact that women witnesses were not considered in a court of law, or that guards would have been killed if they fell asleep. That's all good evidence. It should get your curiosity going. But the good news of Jesus is that, or the good news of Easter is that Jesus is alive and well and living in the hearts of other believers today. That's the best argument that this is for real, that this is true. Just like the women in today's story, Matthew is inviting us, the readers of the story today, to start our own search for Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, stop looking for the living among the dead. Get out of the graveyard. Open up your heart to a relationship with the risen Christ. That's where you will find eternal life. Now, preaching about the resurrection is kind of like trying to prove to you that the Grand Canyon is really beautiful, okay? I can give you the facts. Well, it's this big, it's this deep, and it has this many colors in it. I can give you the facts, or I can give you an impassioned plea. No, from the bottom of my heart, I've been there. I can tell you just how beautiful it is. I can give you other witnesses. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? Raise your hand if you thought it was beautiful. Okay. I can do things like that when I'm preaching the resurrection, right? But ultimately, the best thing I could do is say, go there. Check it out yourself. So too with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is something you have to choose to do on your own if you are going to experience the wonder of the resurrection. You got to go there yourself. And just like watching the sun rise or the sun set on the Grand Canyon and seeing those colors for yourself and having that personal experience, you go, oh, suddenly I get it. So too with the resurrection. When you are changed by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, when you are changed by the promise of new life, you get it. You understand. I would like to invite you this morning to take one step closer to Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are mature people of faith. You've been going to Easter services your whole life. You believe this is true. When I say he is risen, that the words are already on your lips, you're ready to go. But there's still new life waiting for you in this world. There's new growth. There's new grace. There are new wonders for you to discover. I invite you this Easter, go walking. Where is Jesus going to find you this time? And how is he going to redeem you from your humanity with his divinity this time? For those of you who are skeptics, I'm so glad you made it to church on Easter. God bless you, skeptics. I'm a big fan of Thomas. I'm a big fan of the skeptics in the Bible asking tough questions. And maybe you're kind of over the whole Christianity thing. Maybe like a lot of people during COVID, you got out of the habit of going to church. It's like, well, why am I even doing this? What am I even doing? Well, I would encourage you to journey a little bit more. Show up at church. Show up at the women's Bible study or the men's Bible study. Show up for the Sunday school classes here at Valley Covenant Church. Bring your tough questions. Bring your great doubts. Bring your fear and have it turn into joy when you challenge your own assumptions and discover that in the search of truth, you will find Jesus. And for those of you who have set your hearts and your minds against Jesus, and you're done with this, no thanks, pass. All I can say is that Jesus has brought bigger skeptics than you into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. To you, I would say, pray. Just one time. Humor me. Pray one time. God, open me up to the truth. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will get to work in your life and will take you one step closer to a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherever you stand on Easter, there's good news in the emptiness. There's good news in the empty tomb. The fact that the disciples completely abandoned the graveyard, the personal testimony of more than 500 people, the fact that people are still dying for Jesus today should make you a little bit curious. Well, let's leave the graveyard of apathy behind. Seek out Jesus, and you will discover that the risen Jesus has been looking for you all along. I want to save you from your sin, from your apathy. From everything that keeps you from understanding that you are a beloved child of God. Redeemed by Jesus Christ himself. Come, take one step. Jesus will find you along the way. Amen. This isn't going to work. I'm glad we have so many people here today. Here we go. He is risen. Amen. I'm going to invite the congregation of Jesus Christ to sit down for a second. If you would like to talk with me about developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're very welcome. Henry, I'm going to invite you forward to play piano for us. We're going to have a little recessional music from Henry, and if this doesn't warm your heart, I'm not sure what will. And then afterwards, we can follow Stan out into the rain shine. We don't tan here, we rust, and we're going to put up the flower cross out in the community. But first, before Henry closes with some music, receive the benediction. The love of the Father through the grace of the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, grab your attention this Easter Sunday and lead you towards a life of renewal and holiness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, take a step towards Jesus. He will find you along the way.